You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 2, Episode 12, and against doctor's orders, I'm here in studio to deliver the show alongside John Breyer.
Good evening, Kieran. The podcast comes first, I see.
Yeah, I've gone against the doctor's orders there, so hopefully nobody is listening. Only got out of hospital yesterday, but look, I'm fine. League of Ireland has to come first, and we have a huge show lined up tonight.
We do, but I happen to know your doctor is my doctor, and he's a huge League of Ireland fan, so...
I stay away from the surgery for a few days, but...
Massive show,
Kieran. I have to mention your success first, John. Ireland under 13s of the Shield champions, well done.
Absolutely, yeah, and a fantastic match. 3-3, penalty shootout, it had the lot. So I think you were kind enough to put the highlights of the penalty shootout up.
I did, certainly, on the Between the Stripes Facebook page, so make sure you check that out. I think it was your son that got the winning penalty as well, wasn't it?
He did, yeah. A bit of a flamboyant run-up, which I'm never happy about, but look, he did the right thing, scored, and delighted with that. Watch out, Neil Fenn.
Yeah, great turnaround considering you lost your first game 7-0 here last year when we started recording the show. So
we had a really
bad
start.
That's quite a turnaround.
But look, they don't want to hear about my team. What have we got on the show, Kieran?
Yeah, four huge guests on the show tonight, folks. We're going to be focusing a lot on the underage leagues tonight. Obviously, there's been a huge amount of talk in the media after Brian Kerr's recent comments that he feels... the FAI have put a certain sense of elitism onto underage football in Ireland, taking control away from the junior clubs who have really overseen the development of Irish players for many, many years. But I certainly would disagree with Brian Kerr, as much as I respect his views on Irish football, and he's obviously had so much success in Irish football. But I feel the League of Ireland is the way forward. We've spoken tonight to James Toner. He's the Longford Town under-15s manager. He obviously is a man who... he's involved in the underage setup, so we're going to speak to him about that, if he feels that this is the way forward for Irish players. We have Jamie Lennon on the show, the St. Pat's midfielder. He's had his breakthrough season, but of course he came through the underage setup at St. Pat's, so again we'll ask him, does he feel this is the way forward for Irish football? We're joined by David O'Sullivan. Huge game coming up Saturday night at the City Colin Stadium as Longford Town take on Shelburne. And finally, Brian Kennedy will be on. He has a new book coming out. You'll obviously remember his Just Follow the Floodlights title. But John, we're going to crack straight into it and talk about the results from the weekend in the Premier Division.
Yeah, and where better place to start than the Brandywell, where Derry was taking on Cork, and that one finished 0-0. Big news from that is Ronan Curtis agreed a move to Portsmouth in England. So
there seems to be different reports going around on the fee, but I'm seeing 100,000 as the figure mostly been touted about. Do you feel that's a fair price for Ronan?
Yeah, fair price for a League of Ireland player. And
I'd have to disagree. I think he's worth more than that.
I'm sure there'll be sell-ons and things as well. Lots of clauses, Kieran.
It's still a problem we're not getting away from in Irish football, that English clubs are able to come over and pick up our best players for peanuts.
Yeah, but he's not done the same as Seanie Maguire has done, or Richie Towell had done. You know, he's not scored the 20 goals in the season and things. So I think, maybe it could have been a bit more, Kieran, but I'm sure there's plenty of add-ons, and Derry will benefit from anything he does in his career going forward.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to have to look to replace him now in the summer with the cash they do receive. But take us through this game, John.
Well, it was a very low-key first half, really. I was really looking forward to this one, and it was the first half of... few chances, and it was Ronan Curtis that had really about, it was only one or two chances in the first half. He had the best, but he shot a chance wide from a corner. McDermott at the other end, he had a shot saved by McNulty. Really not too much on happening in this. Rory Hale had a good chance, he shot wide, but
you feel McNulty looked a bit shaky on the night?
I think we criticised McNulty before in this. He wasn't at his
best. I don't think his performances this season have been at the level that they were in previous years. I'm not sure what the reason behind that is, but I certainly felt he got away lucky on a few occasions.
Yeah, well, maybe. And certainly there's been problems in a lot of clubs with goalkeepers, hasn't there? And we're going to talk about Rovers again soon and then goalkeeping issues. But again. But in that match, Mandat's scored... just recently, Josh O'Hanlon, he was inches away from converting a cross, Kieran, which would have given Cork the lead. Nicky Lowe shot straight, shot wide. He nearly scored again. He's in good form, isn't he?
Yeah, good player. I really like Nicky Lowe, and Derry have done well to get him in there again this season.
Yeah, and Derry could have won it late on. They hit the post, but to be honest, in this one, the draw was fair, 0-0. It didn't really live up to the reputation of the match, Kieran.
No, I think we've said all we can on that. It was a dull affair. Derry obviously delighted to keep their undefeated streak at home, but that went last night against Dundalk. Cork, obviously looking for the 3 points, but a valuable away point. So I don't think either side will be too disappointed with the result. But performance-wise, both teams definitely need to up their levels.
Yeah, definitely. If they want to, Derry, if they want to challenge for Europe, and Cork, if they want to challenge for the title.
Yeah.
Moving on, we had Shamrock Rovers under pressure against Waterford, who were coming back after those suspensions and things. And Akinadi had a great chance early on, but he couldn't fully connect with one that you might have expected him to score.
Definitely expected him to score, John. It was a gift, really, in all honesty. A mistake in the back line from Rovers, and he's only edge of the 6-yard box, if I recall it correctly, and he hasn't got enough contact on it, and Chinchinski made the save, but should have been 1-0 to Waterford on that one.
Should have been. Ethan Boyle had a great chance as well, but he headed wide from a good cross, and he should have done better, really, Kieran, as well. Man, we've been on everybody's lips this week. Graham Burke, he had a shot blocked as well. So, but it was Gavin Holohan who beat Chinchinski after great work from Bastian Heary. I don't know what the goalkeeper was at for that one.
Oh, yeah, I looked at it. I said, it has to be a deflection there, but there wasn't.
Yeah, I was watching the replays. I was going, well, where's the deflection? Because unless it swerved massively, which you couldn't really see from the highlights.
It swerved, but it was still down the middle at the end of the day. It looks like Chinchinski just gambled on the direction it's going. And it's a laugh of a mistake, really. But what a goal to gift. But in the first half, Rovers were very, very poor. They came out a lot better in the second half. But the two players that linked up there for that goal, Heary and Houlihan, they've been superb this season, and Houlihan is really starting to chip in with goals, and there's a great spread of goals in that Waterford team, and that's what I really like about them this season.
Yeah, but I mean, why have we got Chinchinski in goals?
I'm not
week?
Sure. Was there an injury there, John? Because obviously Horgan has been superb in recent weeks, so I'm not actually sure on that one.
We must sound like a broken record, because how many times is this happening with goalkeepers? And
but it wasn't
how many times we keep saying this is going to cost Bradley his job.
Yeah, but it wasn't just goalkeepers, John, in this game. It was a typical Rovers display. They came out first half. They were very, very poor. They should have probably been a lot further behind. Goalkeeper error gives the goal away. And then in the second half, they come out and they play ball, and they get probably a deserved point on the night. But they're not doing it consistently for 90 minutes. They're falling further and further and further behind in the league table every week. And everybody is scratching their head as to when Stephen Bradley is going to get the bullet, because this can't continue at Shamrock Rovers. They're a mid-table side on current form, and they're definitely not going to finish any higher than that if performances don't improve.
Lower mid-table, Kieran. Mm. I think that's where they're struggling.
Yeah, same path above them now after last night's results.
You've been very critical of Ronan Finn and Greg Bolger, but both were did better.
Yeah, I said that to you before the show started. They definitely upped their performances for this one, and Finn should have scored when he hit the post after Bulger's chip ball through. He put two lovely balls in, Bulger. I think it was Burke, was it, that maybe wide later on in the game?
It was Brandon Mealy. That was a thing of beauty, that through ball for him. Yeah, yeah. Finn hit the post, you're right, but he was offside at the time. And then, the equaliser when through some fantastic work from Daniel Carr, I have to say, and he crossed to Graham Burke, who equalised 1-1, Kieran.
Carr was very lively, I have to say, but no surprise there. That's or you might remember me saying earlier on in the season, John, that I think it might have been Dave Barry said that he doesn't think Carr will come in and he'll improve this Rover side. But that's a perfect example of what Dan Carr is. He mightn't be a 20 goal a man season, but he's definitely able to create as many chances as he's going to take. I think he's a very, very good asset for Shamrock Rovers, and he did extremely well for that goal.
I think he needs to add more goals to his game though, Kieran, to be to be playing at one of those,
or he needs someone playing off him. Gary Shaw hasn't scored in a long time now, John, and I think obviously Rovers have addressed the goalkeeping situation. Alan Manis is going to come in there. But I was speaking to someone that was actually at the St. Johnstone game at the weekend. It was Manis' last game in Scotland, and they weren't impressed with him. They said he looked very, very shaky. Maybe just a bit of emotion in his final game. We'll have to see what type of form he's in when he comes back to Ireland. But they've addressed the goalkeeping situation in that regard. But I really feel they need to get a striker in now in the summer, because Carr and Shaw, just they're not scoring enough between them.
No, and I think Gary Shaw could well be on his way out
I think he's a good squad player, John. I think that he does give something to Rovers. But as I said, if they want to be challenging for titles, challenging for Europe, challenging for Cups, they need at least one striker that's going to get 15 plus and someone else is going to chip in with maybe 10. And Carr and Shaw Shaw don't look like those type of players.
Heavily reliant on Graham Burke at the moment. Over-reliant.
Surely he's not going to be there come the summer.
You wouldn't have thought so.
No,
he's,
not after this call-up.
No, once they get called into the England squad, the Ireland squad.
Well, careful there, John.
We'll edit that one out later.
No, we won't.
then obviously teams from over the water are going to be looking at it as well.
And just on his call-up, do you feel he's deserving of it?
I think so. I think sometimes Martin O'Neill can be accused of almost tokenism. You know, looking at League of Ireland, but I think you've seen him play.
If you remember
he?
This time last year, everyone was crying out for Maguire to get in, and the excuse for given was that Cork had too many big important league games coming up. From that regard, does Martin O'Neill maybe feel that Rovers' season is kind of already over and they don't really have a title or anything to play for because they have big games coming up in the next few weeks, but there's been no regard shown in that sense from O'Neill?
It's a massive squad. They're almost irrelevant, some of the friendlies. You know, this match against Celtic, to me, that shouldn't be going ahead.
Yeah.
You know, that I'd feel quite
what I have read, though, it looks like Burke will play in both Rovers game and then he'll fly over and play in that Celtic game. So.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to be tired.
Yeah, for sure. Look, as you said, it's only a testimonial game, that one for Ireland. I'm sure he wants to put in a good showing, but he might need to be at full fitness for it either.
No, indeed. Well, we wish him well anyway with that.
Oh, 100%. It's great for the league.
Yeah. Dundalk 2, Sligo 1. Dundalk is keeping the pressure on Cork there.
Yeah, very scrappy performance from Dundalk, I thought, John. Sligo maybe feels slightly hard done by not to get something from this game, but it goes back to the issues they've been having all season in terms of defending. If you want to run us through the goals there and see how Sligo did give away those two goals on the
night. Well, a couple of decent saves early on by both keepers. Beanie in favour at the moment. He saved from Gartland early on, and Rogers from McAleer. The first goal for Dundalk came from a penalty after Dylan Connolly was fouled. Connolly back in favour.
Yeah, picked up form a little bit, but obviously a long way to go to meet the levels of expectation that he arrived with at the club. But Hooban getting the first penalty and Dundalk on their way.
Talking of penalties, Kieran, McAleer absolutely smashed by Gary Rogers. No penalty. Well, it looked a penalty to me.
No, not a penalty. He wins the ball, John. His momentum carries him through. I can't see that being a penalty.
Wow.
I think the ref had a great game. There was some very, very tough decisions on the night. You might remember John Mahan going in with a tackle in the Dundalk penalty area. It looked a little high, but he made contact with the ball. He didn't actually leave the ground. His studs obviously were high, but it's a contact sport at the end of the day, and I thought that was another tough decision for the referee, but he got that one right too.
Well, it was Rogers that brought down that man, McAleer, again. I'll say again, because I still think it was a penalty, but that was given as a penalty, and Rhys McCabe converted to equalise 1-1.
Sloppy defending from Dundalk in the build-up to that. I think it was Follin with the back header that was short. And McCabe's gone on the end of it and gone down under the challenge from Rogers. Definitely a penalty, but I'm sure Stephen Kenny wasn't happy with how his team gave that away so softly.
Yeah, Dundalk would have been a bit worried because Ronan Murray missed a sitter after McCabe himself was dispossessed, and I sort of thought Dundalk's chance might have gone at that stage.
Yeah.
But it was that man Pat Hoban. He just seems to be in the right place, right time. He headed home to win it 2-1. Sligo's troubles continue, but an improved show, and Sheldon gets some encouragement against with 2-1 against Dundalk, but you start to feel a bit for
them. They need results, John. 15 points at the moment in the table. Obviously, Bray picking up a point last night, so the pressure really is starting to close in on them. Limerick's performances recently have picked up despite the real off-field issues there. So you've got to worry for Sligo in a certain sense. Pressure really coming on the manager now. I think there might be a decision made there quite soon.
Yeah, indeed. I don't want to see any managers lose the job, but they do need to start picking up some points. Bray went down at home to Bowes, 3-1, Kieran. Bray had been slightly improved recently, but
yeah, I tipped Bray to win this one on last week's prediction game, which I have to say you won, so you're 2-0 up now in the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Well,
lovely. I'm looking forward to that crate of St. Mel's, mate.
But this was a big chance for Bray to really put a statement of intent out there to the teams above them, but Bowes definitely deserve winners on the night.
Yeah, and it was Dinny Corcoran actually back amongst the goals, which was good to see, and he profited from a lovely ball from Keith Ward early on to give them a 1-0 lead. What about this Corey Galvin getting booked for diving? Well,
He went down soft, but I'm not necessarily sure it was a dive. It doesn't always have to be one or the other. It can be a penalty, it can be a dive, it can be just loses balance. If the ref feels that he's tried to con him, then fair play, get the yellow card out. We were extremely critical here last week of Raf Cataro. But it certainly wasn't in the same bracket as that. But no, not a penalty for me.
Well, to me, he was definitely pushed. Penalty, Kieran. I'm right, Kieran. Just as I'm right in the prediction league. Keith Ward, lovely lob after a long ball. Yeah.
He's really picked up his form in the last few weeks.
Hasn't he?
He's a beautiful player to watch when he's in form like that.
He is, you know. And they've got players like that of Bowes. You know, you look at Dylan Watts, he nearly made it three. He's great to watch.
That was top class from Watts. Yeah, pity it didn't go in because it would have been one of the goals of the season.
Yeah. There was a bit of hope for Bray. Ronan Coughlin was brought down by the keeper and Gary McCabe scored the resultant penalty.
What was the keeper doing in that one? He comes out and he smashes him. The ball was going out for a goal kick. I don't know what Supple was thinking. And then he has the audacity to tell the referee he never touched him when he's taken him out.
Yeah, we see this with League of Ireland keepers, don't we? You know,
bit of rush of blood to the head.
Yeah, and none of them really, really outstanding. They're all capable of
Something this season hasn't matched the standards of last season, which is quite disappointing because a lot of people would have him up there as the top keeper in the league.
Yeah, and we can talk about the goalkeeper as well for the Owen Stokes, who made it 3-1. To me, that should have been saved as well.
It's hard to say whether it should have been saved. The camera angle wouldn't have been the best in Soccer Republic, but we've seen this from Stokes. He does take shots on from these incredible angles, and he hit that with such pace and power. I think it's a bit harsh to be critical of the goalkeeper on that one. It was a superb goal from Stokes, and as you mentioned, Corcoran got a goal and he played well overall. For that Stokes goal, he sent the ball out wide, a lovely cross field ball. Stokes was only on the pitch 6 minutes when he got this one, so it looks like and we've mentioned Ward, it looks like those three key attacking players for Bowes are starting to click, and if that's the case, then we could see a big upturn in form from Bowes in the coming weeks.
Yeah, well, they've desperately needed somebody to put the goals into the ball in the back of the net, and we know Corcoran's capable of it. Just hasn't done it yet this season, Kieran. So
yeah, just on Bowes, John. The last couple of weeks, with results not going the way, obviously they have been playing well, but they haven't picked up a lot of 3 points. Some people were fearing that they might be dragged into a relegation dogfight. I'm looking at the table now, and they're only 3 points behind Shamrock Rovers. Yeah. What does that say about Shamrock Rovers, John?
Kieran, we could go on all night about Shamrock Rovers. They're just a disaster at the moment. But to me, Bowes are pulling away from that bottom three, and Sligo, Limerick and Bray starting to look like it's 2 from 3 to me. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on to Limerick against Pats. I have to say here, Kieran, Soccer Republic must have borrowed the camera from Finn Harps and their pre-season photo shoots.
Either that or they recorded it on a spud. My God, it was awful.
It was indeed. The match wasn't great, to be honest.
No.
Limerick, awful, Kieran. I think that's the best thing I can say for them.
At least they kept the score down.
Well, they did.
Goal difference could be actually crucial in the relegation story at the end of the year. So,
Ryan Brennan, he shot wide, headed wide early on. They had another penalty shout for Pats. Did you see that one, Kieran?
Can't say I did.
Yeah, well, look, that looked like it could have been given.
Only out of hospital, John. Take it easy.
Yeah, I know.
Jogging memory.
And Brendan scored. He made it 1-0. And like I say, Limerick, poor, never looked like threatening St. Pats.
Brendan's really upped his form in the last few weeks. He's been a key cog in that midfield for Pats. And they look to be a team on the up now. And Europe is certainly the goal there.
Well, they certainly are on the up. And they've gone ahead of Rovers. And they're putting pressure on Derry. I think if they beat Derry, they can either go level or overtake them. Yeah. So, you know, they're definitely a team on the up. And
yeah, they go ahead of Derry. They're level now after that midweek result. So
I know we spoke highly of them at the start of the season, and finally they're starting to show a bit of that form. But what I like about them is they're very, very solid at the back, Kieran, and they're not conceding much, and you know, and they're eking out their win. So midweek there was matches as well, Kieran. Bray held Waterford 2-2. Yes, bit of a surprise result that. I mean, Bray have been up and down, but down recently, and you know, maybe expect Waterford to win that.
Yeah, especially when they did have the lead. I think they'll probably feel like they let that one slip there.
Yeah, McKenna scored early for Bray from a cross there. And
he shouldn't have even been in the starting lineup, John, only for an injury to Reece Gorman in the warm-up. McKenna would have been on the bench. So amazing how things work out, really.
It is, and part of football is taking your chances, isn't it, when 100%. You get given them.
Yeah.
So that's it. Waterford goals either side of half time. Paul Keegan with the first, and then Courtney Duffus, who's in that great great run of great form.
Great goal
at the
as
moment,
well, I have
yeah.
to say. Beat a couple of men through the middle, gets cuts a shot across the face of the goal and it goes in the bottom corner.
But that wasn't the end of the game, and Gary McCabe equalised late on in the 90th minute from the penalty spot.
Yeah, second penalty in a week. Could be an important point for Bray, that one.
Yeah, very important. Well, every point's important for Bray at the moment because they need everything they can get. But a little bit of a dent to Waterford's title ambitions,
still
I thought.
Still in the mix, though. Still certainly in the mix. I think the results they picked up in the big games have certainly shown their credentials as title challengers. I don't think anyone will say that they're not challengers. But obviously only two draws this week, one against Rovers, one against Bray. They probably feel like they could have won both of those games, excuse me. So, as you mentioned, a small little setback, but overall you couldn't criticise Waterford so far this season.
No, but the big statement for me, the big title statement came from Dundalk here. They went to Derry so good at the Brandywell, and 4-1, Kieran.
Yeah, on last week's show, in our predictions, I said that Cork would be the first ones to get the win at the Brandywell, but it's actually Dundalk that's gone and done it. I was following the game last night, and when I seen Derry had gone one up, I was like, oh, they're never going to be beaten at the Brandywell, but by all reports, Dundalk were absolutely scintillating in the second half. Brian Gartland chipping in with a header from a corner. That's the trademark we've seen in
How
recent
times,
years.
Yeah.
And great to see Gartland back to fitness. Not only did he have injury worries early on in the year, he got a very bad flu, which certainly took a hit on him, I'm told. Robbie Benson, then, he's been in great form lately. He got one on 33 to put Dundalk 2-1 ahead. That man, Duffy, he's the star of the league at the moment.
Kieran, you've always been very critical of Duffy, but...
Not critical, John. I always felt there was a lot more to come from him.
Yeah,
and I think
challenging.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that now. He's not just getting goals, he's getting assists, and that's the sign of a key player. I don't think Dundalk ever really replaced Daryl Horgan. How do you replace a player like that? Could Duffy be the man to just even go close to doing that? And then great to see Adorjan getting a goal in the 90th minute as well, and that was set up by substitute Marco Tagjumi. So good to see the two players there on loan linking up. Fine performance from Dundalk and a real statement of intent, as you said.
Yeah, and they've got strength in depth. You were saying about that last goal was made from the bench, so you know that was they've got a good squad there, and they're really starting to get the performance to match.
I think this next few weeks, John, is going to be a key part in the title race. We both said on last week's show we felt Cork were in the driving seat, that they were the favourites, that they were just grinding out results more than Dundalk were. Dundalk were letting certain games slip after what had been a great start to the season defensively in terms of those clean sheets. But that was a real statement of intent against Derry. Dundalk showed they can scrape results out by getting a scrappy 3 points at home to Sligo, but a crucial 3 points all the same. They're now in the driving seat after this. Obviously Cork still have a game in hand, so they can go back ahead, but I think in the next few weeks whichever side can put the most consistent form together, I think are probably going to be the one that finishes on top at the end of the year.
One final match to cover, Kieran, and it was Pats who beat Sligo 2-0. Sligo, we just mentioned, they're struggling, you'd be a bit concerned for them, but a decent performance from Pats, goal from Dean Clark, and then a Thomas Byrne penalty at the end just to finish Sligo off.
Yeah, Thomas Byrne's another young player that's really making headlines. He came in from Drogheda in pre-season. I hadn't seen a lot of him last year, so I felt, you know, it was a slightly below par signing from Pats, but he's certainly proven that he has the quality there, and Liam Buckley obviously has the eye for young talent, as we've seen with our next guest, which is Jamie Lennon. We're going to speak to him now about his incredible breakthrough at St. Pat's this season. So we're delighted to be joined on the line now by one of the rising stars in the League of Ireland this season. It's St. Pat's midfielder Jamie Lennon. Jamie, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me today.
So as I said, Jamie, this has been your big breakthrough year in the League of Ireland. You played obviously with the Pats underage team last season, but you're in the first team this year, a consecutive run of games, really standing out with some of your performances. You must be delighted with the breakthrough so far.
Yeah, so far I'm absolutely delighted. To be honest, I wasn't really expecting to play much this season. But I suppose I got maybe lucky at the start with a few injuries with the lads in the team. But I just said, you know, when I got my first call up, first start against Bowles, I just said, you know, to try make it difficult for the manager not to include me in the team the next week and the week after, you know. And luckily, I've got a nice 10 or 11 game run now at the moment.
And when did you first get an inkling that you might be able to break into this Pats team? Was it in pre-season?
It was probably at the Waterford game at the start of the season. I came on just after half-time. We were 1-0 down, and although we lost the game 2-0, We felt quite comfortable in the game, so I think maybe that gave the manager a chance to maybe to give me something different in the next game, maybe to give me that start.
And obviously you weren't in the first team last season, but there seems to be a bit of a different air around St. Pat's this season, a lot more confident going out every weekend. Obviously it was a very poor standard last season by St. Pat's standards. Do you feel that there is a lot more confidence in the squad this year?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously last year I wasn't part of the first team, but it seemed like a very difficult year. When things aren't going for you, it's hard to sort of get everyone together and get the morale up in training. And also, once we got a couple of wins under our belt this year and we've pushed on now, and now we're hitting 3 wins in a row and another huge game on Friday to try and push for that European spot. And when you're winning, everything's good, the training's good, the lads are good together, so it's easier that way. But yeah, it's definitely a better atmosphere than last year.
Yeah, Jamie, a real upturn in form for Pats currently. You know, we talked about it even at the weekend there, you know, a couple of clean sheets, a couple of wins, but you seem to be really, really good at the back at the moment. What are you putting that down to?
I think it's the relationship between the lads at the back, to be honest. Lee Desmond and Kevin Toner, they played every game this season together. So they're obviously developing a really big partnership. Then you have the likes of the skipper, Ian Birmingham, who's been around the league years, and Simon Madden on the other side. That gives two young lads and me in the centre a bit of experience, you know?
Yeah, I think it took Kevin a little while to settle in, but he looks to be settling into his role there at St. Pat's now. He had a bit of a tricky start, but seems a lot more solid now.
Yeah, he's a really good player, Kevin. And even for a young lad, like not much older than me, a year or two, he helps me a lot through games. Him and Lee's communication from the back is excellent, and it gives me it makes my job a little bit easier to shadow the back four as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And a massive weekend, like you said, this massive weekend fixture against Derry. You know, you joint fourth with them now, and you know, a few matches ago, we couldn't have even been thinking about St. Pat's pushing for Europe, but sure, up there now with a great chance. So you'll be looking to get 3 points against Derry this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, they beat us when we went up there, so we have, you know, something to prove, I suppose. But after picking up them 3 wins on the bounce, I don't see any reason why we can't go out there full of confidence and try and win the game. Obviously, they have a game in hand, but it's no problem because it's against us. So we just have to go out and win the game and do our best, and then we're right up there for contention for a European spot.
Yeah, Derry's away form would be very different to the home form. I know they slipped up against Dundalk there, but Dundalk played very well during the week there. But yeah, Derry's away form not particularly great, so you must fancy your chances.
Yeah, and I think we played considerably well up in Derry as well. When we lost 2-1, maybe just didn't create enough chances in the final third. But in the last couple of weeks, we've started to do more of that and get more chances. And I suppose that was the sort of one thing we had to improve on from the start of the season, is to create more chances, more balls into the box, and get more chances for a striker. So I don't see any reason why we can't, you know, go out and give it a good try now on Friday.
Yeah, you mentioned that game earlier in the season, Jamie. It's one of the games this season I've watched, and I couldn't believe the result. St. Pat's were definitely value, not just for a point that night, but for all three, from what I could see. Is the lack of goals maybe just a slight worry for Pats at the moment?
Look, I don't really think so, because the main thing is that we're keeping clean sheets. I think that's 7 or 8 clean sheets now we have, and like if the other team don't score, then we won't lose the game, and that's the main thing for us. All we need is one chance, and with players like Christy Fagan and Thomas Bourne and Jake Egan up front, all they need is one chance and they'll put it away. So I don't think it's a worrying thing, that as long as we're solid at the back, the chances will eventually come up front.
Yeah, and just as a young player breaking through, Jamie, there seems to be a very good blend in this Pat squad. Some of the players you just mentioned there, Thomas Byrne is a player rave reviews about at the moment, having arrived from Drogheda last season. Obviously, then you have the real experienced heads, the Conan Burns, the Ian Birminghams, and even alongside you in midfielder, you have Ryan Brennan, who's been in cracking form the last few weeks. Has that made it a lot easier to settle?
Yeah, it definitely has. As you said, it's a really good blend between young and experienced players, and even from yourself, to be training with the likes of Killian Brennan, Ryan Brennan, and on Garvin week in, week out. Like, it just, you learn so much from them, and I just feel that I'm developing much quicker than I thought I would have. And as you said, there's so much potential up front as well. Thomas Bourne is only 19, and he's so talented, even in training. He comes out with some smashing goals, and I'm sure he'll start doing that in games once he keeps on improving.
And in terms of the manager, Liam Buckley, we always hear so much about him, but no better man to hear from than a young player that's broken into the team like yourself. What is it like to work under a man who's had so much success at St. Pat's?
Yeah, it's great. Liam's been great with me. He's obviously put a lot of trust in me, even just to bring me up at all this year and to give me that chance. But to start me in the last 10 or 11 games, like, just shows how much trust he has in the young lads, and not just for me, but the likes of Darren Markey and Thomas Bourne and James Dillon and that. I think his style of play definitely suits me. He's definitely a manager that wants to play out from the back. He wants to get the lads ball. He wants to play football the right way, if you get me, like, and I think it just really suits me the way he wants to play, and yeah, I'm loving playing under him at the moment.
And Pats are obviously one of the sides that had two games during the week. We're hearing a lot of complaints from players and coaches in the league about the fixture pile-up. As a young player, how have you found it on the legs?
It's been tough, to be honest. Even coming up from the under-19s last year, I've noticed that there's just such a jump in the physical demand on the game, and the two games a week definitely do have take a toll on you. But I suppose after a couple of weeks you sort of do get used to it, but it's the fact that you can't do much in training in between these games, so things are taken down, the tempo's taken right down in training so that you have the energy for the games. And I suppose we're sort of just looking forward to getting back to that one game a week, so we can work on things in training rather than just walking, doing things through walking pace. Does take a toll, but I suppose the good thing is that if you get a disappointing result, you only have to wait 3 or 4 days until you can get out there again and try and improve it, you know.
Yeah, most certainly. Jeremy, final question for now. As I said at the start of the interview there, you're a player that's come through the underage setup of St. Pat's, and there's been a huge amount of talk in the media recently about the future of Irish youth football and the best direction to develop our upcoming stars. What was your experience of playing in the Underage League of Ireland, and do you feel that that's a better route than perhaps having the junior clubs have more control, like Brian Kerr has suggested?
For me personally, I think that the under 15s, 17s, 19s leagues are fantastic for developing young players. I think it's the right way to go. It could be just be a personal view, but for me, like, for a young lad, I just felt that going over to England at a young age, which is what schoolboy clubs sometimes want you to do, is to get you over there at a young age. It doesn't help when you're young, you're immature, you get homesick, your feet aren't on the ground. Whereas if you stay at home, you go up through the ranks with the 17s, 19s, you can get your education on the side, you're at home with your family, you can mature as a person, and then you can break into that first team. I mean, the pathway is there. And obviously there's a lot to improve on the pathway, but it's there for us now, and I just think that it's great for developing young players.
Yeah, and I think we're certainly seeing the fine examples of that in the league, of players deciding to stay that little bit longer and then going across to England, and we're certainly seeing the benefits of that now. So I'd have to agree with everything you've said there, Jamie. Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the weekend. That's certainly a huge game against Derry City.
Grant, thanks lads, thanks for having me.
Cheers, Jamie.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So a great roundup there of the weekend's results in the Premier. We're going to take a look at the First Division now, John.
And we'll start off at Athlone, where they went down 1-0 to Drogheda. Chris Lyons with a goal. I suppose a decent result for Athlone.
Yeah, Terry Butler's first game in charge since he took over after Aaron Callan's departure last week. Much improvement at Athlone from speaking to a couple of people at the game. Athlone had a couple of chances late on in the dying few minutes to get a draw there, which would have been astonishing. So there's a bit of hope for Athlone after so many weeks of darkness, of course.
A little bit of hope. Mm. Not too much, Kieran. Shells ground out a 0-0 draw with Harps.
Yeah, probably surprising considering, obviously, the goals of David O'Sullivan, who we'll hear from later. Harps have been in good goal scoring form lately with the O'Connors there. and obviously picking up a series of wins, late wins recently. So I think we'll probably see a lot of these results now in the coming weeks. Yeah. In these big games, it's so much on the line.
Didn't really do either team much favours, that one. But the title race was made a little bit more interesting by Galway beating UCD 2-0. Owen McCormack in the goals again.
Yeah, McCormack's having a great season, and what a screamer from Ryan Connolly.
Oh, great goal,
if you haven't seen that yet, folks, check out the Galway United social media pages, and wow, what a goal. I'm sure when Shells and Harps seen that result, they were definitely kicking themselves for not maybe going a bit more attacking in that game. And finally then,
not quite finally, but 3 points for Longford at Wexford, which was needed. 2-0. Jamie Hollywood with another good goal there.
Super goal from Jamie Hollywood, it lit up what was a very poor game, similar to the game in Cove last week. The playing surface down in Wexford was absolutely appalling. Very, very difficult for Longford to play any sort of attractive football on it. You have Sam Vernon down there, John. I have to disagree. It was Chris Mulhall that certainly got the last touch on it. But it great to see a player that wants to claim everything, because as soon as the linesman raised his flag, Mulhall was over shouting him, "That's my goal, that's my goal." And he was telling Sam it was his goal as well. So Chris Mulhall adding to his tally this season. Comfortable win for Longford, but not the best of displays. But I'm sure they'll pick up their game this Saturday when Shelburne come to the City Calling Stadium.
Final match and a bit of respite for Stephen Henderson as his Cove side beat Cabo 1-0. Kian Leonard with a goal.
Yeah, two wins in a week for Cove. Obviously, they knocked Longford out with the EA Sports Cup during the week, last week, and then they get this crucial home win, a first home win of the season in the league. Kian Leonard with the goal, and you'd like to see Cove start climbing up that table now after a difficult few weeks for Stephen Henderson and Co.
Right, so we'll move on to the predictions, Kieran, and There's beer at stake here, so I'll get your pen out to make sure
you're
ready.
I won't be able to drink for another few weeks, but I'm sure by the time I've won all my predictions, I'll be fine.
Drogheda against Wexford, Kieran. I can't see anything but a home win.
Yeah, well, Drogheda beat them 8-1 earlier on in the season at Ferry Carrick Park, so Drogheda with the home advantage here. They'll be looking for a better performance than they had against that Lone. I think they'll definitely drill them hard this week to make sure there's no slip-ups there. I have to go with a draw to win.
Yeah. UCD at home to Athlone. I think UCD will get back to winning ways there.
Yeah, I can only go one way there, UCD.
And Finn Harps at home to Cove.
Long, long trip for Cove. I know I ridiculed you here on one of the shows earlier this season when you said that
Derry against Waterford, I think it was.
But no, this is one you have to certainly make an exception for in terms of travel. It's the longest trip in the League of Ireland. Harps have been in good form recently, picked up a point at the weekend against Shells. Cove haven't really been in the mix promotion wise so far this season. If they're to win it, they'll throw themselves right into it, but I can't see it. I have to go with a Harps win.
Yeah, home win for me as well, Kieran. Cabinteely host Galway.
Cabo are another side that just haven't been in the mix at all this year. Galway must be absolutely buzzing after turning over UCD. People were talking about UCD has been almost unbeatable. This was their second defeat of the season against Galway, but they've just looked so, so impressive this season. There was a little bit of pressure earlier on in the season on Shane Keegan. Galway just hadn't fired the way people had hoped, but that win over UCD could be a real turning point now, and I think they'll get another 3 points here away to Cabo.
I have to agree, Galway as well for me, Kieran.
We're tied on all our first division games there, John, so what we'll do, I'm going to ask you for a score prediction in the Drogheda game.
Drogheda against Wexford, 4-0 for me.
I'll go 4-1.
Okay.
Right, we can move along to our Premier Division pictures.
You've missed the main match of the weekend.
How could I forget? Yeah, of course.
So Longford host Shelburne, and for me, this is the match of the weekend in the first division.
Yeah, certainly. This is a big one. I know I was doing a couple of post match interviews down in Wexford at the weekend after Longford's game, and the players, the management, they're all absolutely buzzing for this game against Shells. I've said to you a couple of times this year, I feel Longford are really picking up their game in the big games. They're just doing enough to get by the likes of Wexford, Cabinteely, etc. I feel they're going to have to play well to beat Shelburne. Shells are a direct side. They got the better of Longford at Tolka Park early in the season, but that was a game where, again, Longford gave away silly goals, silly penalties, and should have got something from the game. I think this Longford team is finally starting to mature a little bit. I can certainly see them picking up at least a point, but I just feel the form's with Longford at the moment. There seems to be a bit of a momentum going now finally, and I'm going to go with 3 points at home.
So am I. Now, one man who's going to disagree with you, I would say, is former Longford Town legend Davy O'Sullivan.
Yeah, we have him on the show now, folks, so enjoy this interview. Going to be certainly interesting to see the reception Davy O'Sullivan gets on his first return to the City Calling Stadium this weekend. So we're joined on the line now by the top scorer in the First Division at the moment. It's, of course, the former Loughor Town record goal scorer and current Shell striker, David O'Sullivan. David, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks very much, lads.
So, David, it's been a fantastic start to the First Division season, not just for Shells, but yourself, as I mentioned there, top scorer. After a bit of an injury-ravaged season last year, you must be delighted to be back on top form.
Yeah, absolutely. It was as you well know, it was a tough season for myself personally last year. Been out kind of for half the season of that. Didn't get much game time in that, and as you know, I was out injured for a good chunk of the season. So as I said before, I think I worked very hard in pre-season on that in order to get myself back in shape, and it's worked and looked so far. There's been nothing, no niggles or anything like that. So, and obviously it's great to be, you know, to be scoring a few goals at the new club and to be kind of in the mix where we are, along with all, you know, yourselves, Longford there as well. So, yeah, it's been a good start so far, and look, there's a long way to go yet, but we've had a solid enough start.
Yeah, as you mentioned there, Shells are just one of a number of sides that are currently in the promotion mix. It looks like it's going to be an absolutely fascinating First Division season. How big is this game on Saturday in the City Colin Stadium?
It's massive. We've come off the back of a few kind of tough games there now. We had Drogheda, Finn Harps, and UCD there in the last three games, three draws, and again now we've another leading into another big game against Longford. So we're all teams that are kind of up around in the mix and that. So it's a big game on Saturday. Both teams will be going to win it. I'd say it's going to be, if the last game is anything to go by, it's going to be entertaining. I'm really looking forward to it, and so are all the lads. And it'll be strange going back and you know, sitting in the away dressing room of the club that I was at for so long. But no, looking forward to it.
And you'll be hoping for a decent reception from the Longford Town fans as well, Davey.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I'm not sure if we'll get that. Looking forward to seeing everyone again. Yeah,
it'll be like when Arsenal went to Galatasaray that time. I think they all welcome to hell the banners and everything. We're looking forward to seeing you back, but hopefully not scoring too many goals this weekend. So you can have a weekend off, David.
Yeah, I've had a few weekends off there, so
we'll do any harm.
Yeah.
Before we go on, David, I have to ask you about this incredible record you've got against Athlone. You seem to just bang a hat trick in every time you play them. Is it? I know Athlone haven't been great the last few seasons, but you just seem to see bullseyes there every time you play them.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what it is, to be honest. But yeah, I think it's the last three or four games now that I've got three or four against them in the games, and it's just, I don't know, a bit of luck, and I'm not sure. You know, this year they're very, very poor. You know, they're getting kind of bet well every week, as you know. And I suppose, look, it's always nice as a striker to score, no matter who you score against. You have to play against the 11 men that are put in front of you. But I honestly don't know what it is. But look, long may it continue.
Yeah. So we've finished one section of the league, and you've played against all the teams there so far. Who's particularly impressed you so far?
UCD definitely really impressed me now, I have to say. I actually missed the home game there, but the first game of the season out there, I thought from playing all the teams now, I thought they've been the best that we've come up against anyway, and I'm sure a few others will probably agree with that. Drogheda are very strong, Longford are very strong, and then Finn Harps, you know, they're going to be thereabouts there. Very tricky side, and we had a very tough game against them on Friday night, and Galway as well. You know, it's really, really competitive. It's definitely the most competitive that I've seen, and it's going to be make for a really entertaining finish to the season, I think. But in my eyes, at the moment, the best that I've seen is definitely UCD.
Yeah, and one man that's really standing out for them and been rumours of possible move is Georgie Kelly. Were you impressed with him, Davey?
Yeah, he's a smashing player. Very impressed with him the first day out there, the opening day of the season. You could see he was very sharp. He's a keen eye for goal, and I'm not surprised he's up there fighting me for the golden boot for the season. So it'll be interesting to see how that ends.
And just with Shells, is the hope for promotion this season? I know UCD are, 6-7 points clear of you, but that can be easily caught back up. You know, they went down to Galway there at the weekend, so they're not invulnerable by any sense of the imagination.
No, they're not. They are a very good side, but as you can see, I think Drogheda bet them as well at home, and Galway beat them, so they are beatable. But I do think they're definitely the ones to stop at the moment. And then, other than that, it's a free for all really. Who's going to get the second, third, fourth spots? But for ourselves, the aim at the start of the season was absolutely to get promotion. To win it would be great. But definitely the goal is definitely promotion, and get into those playoff spots at least.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Davey. I've seen every team in the first division now, and UCD were by far the best side I've seen when they came down to Longford and left with a very comfortable 2-0 victory. Any other team Longford have played, I felt the games were very, very even, most of them. Just in terms of Shelburne, though, there seems to be a real uplift around the club there. Obviously, there's new investment that's come in. There seems to be a lot better atmosphere on the ground as well from a supporter's point of view. Is that helping things on the field?
Yes, as far as I know now, I don't know too much about kind of off the field stuff and investment and all that, but that is certainly from the fans. I believe they've got a good few fans back that weren't going to games in that last year, and that's definitely right. You know, there's a good atmosphere in the stadium at every home game that I've been involved in anyway, and you know, getting to know them and that, and they'd be very good. And yeah, no, there's definitely a good buzz around the club and around training and that. And yeah, no, I think maybe things are on the up. You know, they've been kind of, you know, down in the first season of the last, whatever, I think 7 or 8 years. And I think maybe things are starting to possibly happen for them. But we'll see.
We've just had Jamie Lennon on from St. Pat's, and we were talking about the importance of a good mixture of the squad between experienced players and young players coming up through. There seems to be a certain element of that at Shelburne as well. Do you feel that's contributed to the good start of the season?
Yes, yeah, definitely. There's definitely a good bit of depth in the squad. You know, you have all the way, you have the likes of Dave Mulcahy and Dean Delaney, you know, they've been around the league for years. Derek Prendergast, Aidan Collins, you know, there's some big names there. Then myself has come in, along with all the younger lads that are there. Gavin Boyne, the likes of Mark Hughes, that would have played at Longford before. And then there's some very talented young lads there, and Dale Rooney and Dylan Grimes. So definitely I think the mixture is very good. There's a good balance, and I suppose it's nice for me. I was nearly the oldest at Longford last year. I think Kevin O'Connor was only older than me, so coming in, I'm kind of in the middle now in the squad, which is nice. But no, it's definitely played a big part, I think, the depth in the squad and the experience along with the youth.
And finally, in terms of the manager Owen Heary, he's obviously having great success this season, but Some people would say that Shell's style of play is maybe slightly direct, but I feel a team that can mix up their style of play is very important. I know it's something, from a Longford point of view, we've spoken about maybe Longford could look to go a little bit longer at times just in order to see out games. How have you found working under Owen, and do you feel it's unfair that Shell's have been labelled as a slightly long ball team?
No, I think that's probably fair enough. You know, we are definitely, from what I've seen anyway this season, we're a direct team, certainly more direct than Longford under Neil last year. But no, Owen's been great. He's been very good to me, and I'm enjoying working under him. And I think, although we do go direct, we can when we want to, we can get it down and play a bit as well. And as you say, there's no harm in that, mixing it up, being able to mix it up, especially in this league. You know, certain games you go into, you need to be able to have kind of one or two kind of formations and plans and that and ways to play. So now I'm happy enough. It's been a solid start so far. Look, we'll see where we are come the end of the season.
And do you feel that direct style suits your style of play, Davey? Because obviously under Tony Cousins, a lot of your goals would have come in a team that looked to play very, very direct football. And you obviously had that amazing goal scoring record at Longford, and you look to be replicating that now at Shelburne. So is that the style of play that suits David O'Sullivan?
Yeah, I suppose you probably could say that, to be honest. The year we won the league there, we were very direct, as in a lot of the time we went straight to Shawsy, to Gary Shaw, and I ran off him. Yeah. And I suppose that there's an element of that at Shells now again, and maybe it suits my game a bit more. I think that's probably a fair statement.
Well, Dave, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, but I'm afraid John has just popped out to the butcher's to get a pig's head, so maybe just watch out for that at the weekend. But in all honesty, thanks very much for joining us, Davey, and I'm sure you'll get a good reception at the City Connacht Stadium one way or another.
No problem at all, Kieran. Look, it's a pleasure as always, and look, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there on Saturday. Cheers.
Davey, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Well, great to hear from Davey O'Sullivan there, Kieran, but we won't be wishing him well this week, can we?
No, certainly not, John.
Anyway, we'll move on now and have a look at our Premier previews for the weekend. And we've got a big match between Bowes and Dundalk.
Yeah, so very impressive performance from Bowes against Bray last time out. And as we mentioned, them three key players, Stokes, Corcoran and Ward, really look to be in form at the moment. But Dundalk were just so, so impressive away to Derry that you couldn't write off Dundalk for 3 points here.
Yeah, Dundalk as well for me, Kieran. Cork host Bray this weekend. See anything but a home win?
No.
Okay. Well, that's simple enough. More a tricky one. This one, Pats against Derry. Now we said this was probably the game of the weekend, didn't we?
This is huge.
Yeah,
this is huge in terms of Europe. Pats have really turned the corner in recent weeks. Some of their players there, like Brennan, have really stepped up their form. Derry are going to be. They're going to be seething after that defeat at home. It's not the result. No shame in losing to Dundalk. I think it was the manner. They'll be very disappointed in their own performance. I can see them being a little bit more solid, a little bit more defensive away from home. I'm going to call a draw.
I'm going to go for a Pats win. I just think they've got the form at the moment. They're very tight, and Derry, not great away from home. You know, we talk about the strength of Brandywell, but on the travels, they're a bit of a different
Pats are struggling to put teams away this season. They're not really hammering sides are struggling for goals when you compare them to the likes of Dundalk. So I think Derry, as I said, will set up a little bit more defensively. Maybe look to counter on the break when they get the chances, but I'd have to go for a draw.
Okay. Sligo host under pressure Shamrock Rovers. Well, two managers under pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Look, Sligo, they'll fancy bringing Shamrock Rovers to the showgrounds despite their poor home form this season. Rovers, they haven't been great, in all honesty, all year. Graham Burke, where's his mind going to be? He's going away to play for Ireland the next day. I'm sure he's going to be focused on putting in another good performance for Rovers and building his stock even higher. For me, Sligo have just been very toothless in attack. They do come out for these games against Rovers though, but I just don't see it. I don't see anything in Sligo this year, John. I've been very, very disappointed with them. I've got to go for a Shamrock Rovers win.
And I'm going to agree. Away win for me as well. Final match is Waterford hosting Limerick, Kieran.
Yeah, look, Limerick haven't been great this season. I know I said that their performances have improved slightly, but you were probably right that they should have probably lost by more to perhaps their last time out. Waterford, they'll be disappointed to have let a couple of points slip during the week, but their performances have been fine. Houlihan scoring goals, Abora back to his best, Heary, for me, best player in the league this season. Only one way this is going, it's going to be a Waterford win.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that. And
I think we've gone the same way again in all those games. So do you want to go with the score prediction for that Waterford game?
I'm going to go 2-0, Kieran.
You're going 2-0. I'm going to go 3-0.
Okay.
Okay, and before we go any further, folks, we're going to bring you a very interesting interview now. He's a Waterford FC fan, but he's also a well-known author. It's Brian Kennedy, who has a new book on the way, and we're going to discuss that with him now. Okay, folks, so we have something a little bit different this week, but we're certainly delighted to be joined online now by League of Ireland author Brian Kennedy, who has a new book out. It's called One Team, One Dream, One Friday Night. Brian, of course, will be remembered as well for the excellent Just Follow the Floodlights book from a couple of seasons ago. Brian, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kieran. Thank you.
So, Brian, as I mentioned, a new book coming out. Can you give us a little bit of a flavour of it?
Yeah, it's roughly, I think, just about 38 stories. And there's 38 stories from 38 fans of 38 clubs. And that obviously will be clubs past and present. Everybody from Longford to Newcastle West. And it's basically, it's a book told by the fans, for the fans. Probably the easiest way of putting it.
Certainly sounds interesting, Brian. I'd imagine, considering you've put clubs in there that are no longer around, was it very hard to get resources to get your analysis on this?
When I put the idea up there a while ago, I didn't know would it fly or not, but it stood to reason that there's at least one person in every single club that would say, well, you know, I want to get my story across. In terms of the Longford one, it's Martin Stapleton writes about the 2014 First Division title that Longford won. And he breaks it down match by match over the season. But yeah, there's some really, really great stories in it. I'm delighted that I got them all together in one book.
Yeah, why doesn't that surprise me that Mr. Stapleton has done the long one? I'm sure that makes for interesting reading. But Brian, obviously you had huge success with Just Follow the Floodlights, so I'd imagine you're hoping for similar success this time around.
Yeah, it's a wee bit different in that the publisher that I had for Just Follow the Floodlights isn't there this time, so I just got to work a little bit harder, just in terms of making sure that the book is you can get it online and get it in your local stores. But I am lucky in that I have that kind of head start from Just Follow the Floodlights, because people, you know, when I mentioned that I wrote that, you know, I've done extremely well from you. I was delighted with it. So, it gives me a little bit of a head start. I just got to work a little bit harder in terms of making sure that people can get the book.
Brian, there must be some very sad stories in there. You mentioned 38 clubs. Obviously, there's only 20 in the league now of clubs that have been and gone.
Yeah, there's a lot of very good ones. Funny enough, actually, Newcastle West, some people might remember, they had spent, like, I think it was a 5-year tenure in the Division 1 from 85 to 90. There's some great stories with regards to that. There is a sadness, of course, you know. There's some lovely stories about Cork's, the amount of teams that Cork had down through the years, from Fordsons, Cork, Celtic, Cork, and Burnians. There's parts about that as well, about the great Cork, Celtic, and teams like that have gone through the years. Athlone Town, the Athlone Town entry is, of course, their famous 1975 UEFA Cup game against AC Milan, where John Minnett missed probably the biggest penalty in Irish football. But it is, in terms of some of the clubs that aren't there anymore, I think the one which hits home is Adrian Hart. There's a lovely A to Z on Monaghan United, and it is literally an A to Z, and it's very witty, very wrote funny. But yeah, there's clubs like that. Kildare County, another one actually. Kildare County, I think their entry into the book is probably the most poignant, in the fact that their very last game in the division was against Shelburne, and the board of directors had basically resigned a week beforehand, and the whole story is about how the supporters managed to pull together and actually make sure that very last game in the League of Ireland was played. Now, as it turned out, they were beaten 6-1 by Shelburne, but it was basically the story of, I think Steve Taylor might have wrote it, about how Kildare pulled together to get that very last game in the league. And that itself is kind of sad, okay, yeah.
Well, Brian, it certainly sounds very exciting. I can't wait to get our hands on it. When is it out? And I know you have a number of dates that you're going to be around different grounds releasing the book.
Yeah, we're starting off, I think it's on June 1st, we're starting in Cork. I'm trying to get around to as many places as possible. I know we're launching Sligo as well, Limerick, possibly Derry. I do have a soft spot for Longford. I enjoy going up there during my Just Follow the Floodlights tenure. If I can do something up there, it'll be fine. But the book then itself will be coming out maybe the 5th or 6th of June. You'll be able to buy that on www.briankennedywriter.com. But I will also make sure, and the FAI website, but I will also make sure that it gets into as many shops as possible, even if it's club shops. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it. And I really hope that people will take to this like they did to Just Follow the Floodlights.
Yeah, and just for our listeners, we're delighted to say that Brian has given us a copy of the new book, and we're going to be doing a like and share competition on our Facebook page. So make sure you give Between the Stripes a like on Facebook, and keep an eye out for that competition. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. I have to say, I can't wait to get my hands on that, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Jackie, and thank you very much.
Cheers, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Cheers then. Bye.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
OK. Okay, great to hear from Brian there, Kieran. And keep an eye on our Facebook page, folks, because that, as we were talking about that competition, there'll be a like and share competition going up for a chance to win that new book from Brian. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Now, Kieran, you were at a couple of underage matches this week.
I was, certainly, yeah. I decided to do some live updates for the Between the Stripes Twitter account, at Between Stripes, folks, if you want to check that out. Always important to give the younger players a taste of some of the media coverage within the league. And I know from speaking to the coaches, they're very appreciative of that, and they like to see their games being covered and the players getting, you know, a little taste of what it's like at the senior level. But I have to say, I seen some things that worried me. Before I went out to those games, I had already written an article for pokemygoal.com. Make sure you check out that, countering Brian Kerr's argument that the junior club should have more power. I totally disagree with that. But in saying that, after taking in these games over the weekend, I have some major concerns about the League of Ireland structure. And if these issues aren't addressed in the immediate future, I feel we're not going to get the level of talent out of these leagues that we should. The first thing for me is the level of officiating in these leagues. Obviously, it's an issue across world football at senior level. But it seems to me that they're using local referees in these underage games. And they're simply not up to standard, not up to fitness, not able to keep up with the play. And from that, games are becoming very scrappy, very physical. Not developing a good style of football because the officials are letting too many things go. They're not able to keep up with the play, as I said. And some of the games are descending into a bit of a farce. Secondly, playing surfaces. That's obviously an issue again within the senior league. But for me, if we're looking to be developing young players, we need to get these players on proper level playing surfaces. 4G surface would make sense there, John.
I think they've got they're trying to get the structure in place, yeah. Right? So we've got the 1917s, 15s, we're getting under 13s, yeah. It's on its way. So I think it's chicken and egg, isn't it? You have to have that in place. And then they'll be able to move on. But you're right about officiating, and you mentioned referees not even turning up on time.
I was at the under-15s game, and it was due to kick off at 1 o'clock. I was met at the gate by both members of the coaching staff from Longford and UCD. They were like, "Have you seen the referee?" Yeah. I was like, "This is supposed to be the most professional standard of football for under-15s that we can get." It was laughable.
You should have reffed it, Kieran.
I should have, yeah. It would have been better than the fella that turned up. But my final issue then, John, with the whole underage structure, and it's one that's been highlighted by many people, not just myself, the bridge between under 19, which is the final step of youth development, and then senior football is far, far too big. You can't be expecting a player at 19, 18, 19 to be at the same physical level as the players that have maybe played in a couple of seasons for the first division. It's just far too large. So what we need there is a bridging league. Let it be a reserve league where fringe players from the first team could come down, maybe three players from the first team, and play with these young players. And that way we're not going to be losing talent that when they're at 19, but just not physically maybe ready. I've certainly seen examples of that at Longford in recent years where there's been really, really good talent, but physically they haven't been able to step up. And if they just had a couple of years playing a bridging league with other first team players.
I know where you're going. We sort of had this with Shamrock Rovers B, didn't we? But I think an issue for a lot of the part-time clubs might be the number of players they have on the books as well, yeah. Kieran. So
look, fun, it all comes down to money and resources, yeah. John. Obviously, it's costing probably $100,000 a year to run all the underage sides. So if you're going to have a reserve team, you're probably looking at maybe another $100,000 on top of that. So the FEI are obviously going to have to chip in and help out with that. But for me, we're losing way, way too many players at this moment in time. And until we get that bridging league, I think that's going to continue. But look, folks, we're going to get some expert opinion now. James Toner is the Longford Town under-15s manager, and we spoke to him about his experiences in the League of Ireland underage system and if he feels that that is the way forward for our young players. So enjoy, folks. So, folks, as we said at the start of the show, we're going to be having a discussion tonight on youth football in Ireland. Obviously, a lot of talk in the media lately after Brian Kerr's comments. And then, obviously, we had the Ireland under-17s last night going out in hugely controversial circumstances. We're joined on the line now by Longford Town under-15s manager James Toner. James, you're welcome to the show.
Kieran, thanks for having us.
So first of all, James, I'm sure you've seen the game last night involving Ireland. What did you make of the decision?
The 17s, look, obviously it was tough to take for them, but I think the way they dealt with it was really, really good. Obviously a brilliant performance, personally. Really good football, and it's still mixed with that kind of Irish spirit where you can see they're all fighting for each other, so that's brilliant to see. The future is bright, but on the decisions, obviously, if Colly O'Brien and the likes can deal with it, as well as they did, I'm sure we'll get over it. There's a bigger picture.
Yeah, they certainly showed unbelievable class in their post-match interviews, I have to say. You talk about the identity there of Ireland. We're always known as a nation of fighting players and great spirit. And Brian Kerr alluded to that recently. He feels that maybe the FAI have taken a different direction in terms of youth development, that we've moved away from the junior clubs having a large say. It's now the League of Ireland clubs. Of course, you're involved with Longford. Do you feel that the League of Ireland setup is the way forward? Obviously, you have a pathway there for players. They can start under 13 level, and if they're good enough, they should make their way up to the senior ranks, maybe play a couple of years at senior level, and then hopefully they'll get their move. Whereas in junior football, we've seen players offered a move, they've gone over to England and maybe suffered with homesickness and maybe not mature enough at such a young age, and they've come back, and a lot of them have totally fallen out of love with the game. So do you feel the League of Ireland structure is the way forward?
Yeah, well, 100% I do. Speaking from my own experience, I would absolutely agree that the League of Ireland is the way forward down in Longford anyway. Obviously, Brian would have a wealth of experience in the game, and his opinion has to be respected.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff that he is saying, I'd absolutely agree with, but I do feel the League of Ireland is the way forward for the underage structure. Just on my own personal experience from Longford anyway, you see now that we've got a few young lads that have played right through the underage in the first team with Longford as it is, and it just seems that with Longford anyway, there's a good underage structure in place. We've got another 15s now, where locally we've got really good 17s and 19s managers who encourage underage kind of production of players. So what you're looking at is the likes of Jimmy Dermody asking me for players, and they'll have a good pathway to move on through the ranks.
Yeah, and we have Jamie Lennon on the show tonight from St. Pat's, and he's another fine example of a player that's coming through the underage League of Ireland setup. And we've spoken to him earlier on there, and he talked about how the opportunity was there for players to move to England, and they've suffered with homesickness, etc. Whereas now they can stay in the league and develop. So surely this is the way forward.
Well, definitely. I think obviously there's a lot to be said for going to England as well. It is tough, but if you can do that, absolutely, it's brilliant. But in terms of staying in Ireland now, the fact that there is a structure in place, and you can see we're now aiming to gear players into our League of Ireland, and you can see now as a result already, you can see the likes of Graham Burke already being linked with a move to England. Mm. This is a lad that's come home and played in the league. So Daryl Horgan, Richie Tells, just to name a few that have obviously got away as well. So there's an absolute certainty that playing in the league can warrant getting away to England, even if that means you're 22 and 23. As opposed to going over so young and maybe suffering from the homesickness that some lads have in the past.
And obviously it's a very new structure, a very new concept, this underage League of Ireland. There is teething problems, and I totally support the way the FAI are going in terms of giving control to the League of Ireland clubs and taking maybe less power away from the junior clubs, who I feel are quicker to just sell a player to England than actually look at the development of the player overall. But as I said, there has been teething problems. I'm not looking for you to comment on individual officials or anything like that, but from what I've seen at the underage games, there seems to be a huge problem with match officials. They seem to be using local officials who simply aren't up to standard. Some of the pitches are slightly questionable. I feel maybe would we be better off looking at maybe playing our games on an artificial surface for young players so they could learn to play the game the right way. They're just two of the large issues I've come across from watching underage football. Would you have an opinion on that, James?
Well, I just feel, obviously, like you said, it's a very new process, the underage kind of structure. I think people are very quick to judge anything that the FAI do, but I think what they're putting in place now is absolutely fantastic. And I feel as though people seem to jump on the bandwagon of it's going wrong sometimes. But look, this is the first year of under-15s, and I feel as though we'll see plenty of lads that played under-15s going up to under-17s. And so on and so forth. So, absolutely, it's only the beginning of the league. So, I wouldn't be panicked about it at all. I couldn't imagine any league didn't have issues in the first season of it running, and we're no different. It's been very good in my experience anyway.
And in terms of youth football, we always hear the argument as well of results over player development. From a League of Ireland standpoint, obviously, I'm sure results are important and breeding a winning mentality if players are going to go on and play senior football, but as a 15s manager, you're at the moment the first clog in the wheel. Obviously, 13s is on the way, but you're getting the players very early. Is it all about trying to get as many players as possible from 15s to 17s and then hopefully to the 19s as opposed to looking at just results?
Yeah, absolutely. Results would be the last thing that you would speak about. that's for sure, at this level. I don't even think you'd mention that. Mm. At 17s and very rarely at 19s, I think first team is where results come in, and our job is obviously to help with player development. So even if lads don't push on to the 17s, which I know has been a massive discussion, the idea is that they've learned a lot from their year in League of Ireland or 2 years in League of Ireland, that not only they've improved as players, but hopefully as people as well. There's a lot of respect shown between coaches and players, every team I've dealt with anyway. And, you know, it's not just learning about football from 7 to 9. There seems to be a lot of clubs investing in the idea of education on nutrition, you know, mental health, which is a big thing that we'd have down here too. I know that's the case in many clubs. So, absolutely, our aim is to develop players, whether they move on to the 17s or not. Ideally, they do, but anyone that falls out of that bracket, absolutely, they should leave the club or clubs that they're in across the league, knowing that they've become a better player. And obviously, we'd like to believe that it'd help improve them as people as well.
Yeah, that's really great to hear in terms of the, obviously the nutrition is a big part of, if you want to make it in the game, but in terms of mental health, education and other ways like that, that's really positive to hear. Is the biggest issue though with the League of Ireland underage setup at the moment the gap between that final stage under 19s and the ultimate goal of breaking into the first team? Is that gap just too large at the moment? And perhaps should a bridging league like a reserve league, an under 23 league, is that something maybe the FEI need to look towards?
Well, I would agree. I know Brian Kerr did speak about that, and that was kind of what you were going to say. But absolutely, I do feel as though there does need to be a gap between the two. But if you actually looked at the player development pathway that the FEI have developed, they have plans right up as far as 2030, I think I read. And I know that there is a plan in place to make a bridge league or a reserve league. So it's not as if it hasn't crossed their own minds themselves. They just wanted to get the whole underage structure in place first, which I thought was probably for the best. So, absolutely, do I think there could be a 21s league or a reserve league? Yes, but it's not something that the FEI have ignored. I know that for sure. The plans are in place, and I think people are very quick to judge, but I think in 5 or 10 years, we'll really have a positive structure right from 13s upwards, and obviously even younger if we can. But definitely, I think there'll be a bridge in between 19s and first team in the near future.
Well, James, you certainly paint a very positive picture there of underage football in Ireland at the moment. Very interesting insight there from yourself. So we want to thank you for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season with Longford.
Thanks very much, Kane.
Thanks, James.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, man.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, folks, that's been another excellent edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Want to thank everyone that has joined us this evening. As always, you can get us on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, and then all good Android podcast services such as Podcasts, Pocket Cast Republic, and Podcast Addict. They're just three of the services you can get. So search for Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Anyone on iTunes, we'd really appreciate if you hit the subscribe button and rate and review us as well. We had a great performance in the charts last week, and we'd love to continue that this week. John, any final statements from yourself?
No, I'm just looking forward to the weekend's action, and like I say, we're hoping where Davy O'Sullivan doesn't celebrate too much in front of Section O.
Yeah, I might end up back in hospital with heart palpitations if Sully gets another hat-trick this weekend. But finally, before we go, folks, just have to make you aware of a very special offer at the moment. Flomax.ie are sponsors this season. We wouldn't be here without them and without their support. They have an excellent World Cup promotion going at the moment, so check that out. If you spend a certain amount of money with Flomax, who are industrial service experts, you get a World Cup ball and a jersey of your choice. And there's also, for you GA heads out there, there's a similar promotion going, so make sure you check out flomax.ie and their social media pages for that. You'll hear a little jingle after this, and that'll have all the information you need about how to get us on Twitter, Facebook, etc. But until next week, folks, thanks for joining us and best wishes.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audioboom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.